no-hitter.
Every White Sox game.
Give me the hot sauce.
Every Bulls game.
GWG.
Every Blackhawks game. It's all here.
Make sure you guys tune in.
It's only here on NBC Sports Chicago.
On this edition of the Cubs Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide, Gordon Whitmire, Matty Lee, Tim Stebbins, and I discuss the state of the offense. We talk about Javi Baez turning around and spending one at bat, batting lefty in a 16-4 win over the Mets, and we look ahead to the upcoming Brewers series.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
At Wintrust, we know true fans show their team pride every chance they get. With Cubs checking, you'll score a Cubs debit card so you can show your support every time you pay. Open today at Wintrust.com/CubsTalk. $100 required to open. Member FDIC.
Let's play two.
Way back. It might be. It could be. It is. Holy cow.
The fly. He scores.
Ball game over. Cubs win. Cubs win.
Hey, welcome in to another edition of Full House Edition. We got the whole crew here of the Cubs Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide, with Matty Lee, Tim Stebbins, Gordon Whitmire. I'm David Kaplan. Our great producer are Tony Gill and Joe Collins. And as we get ready to tape this, the Cubs are going to play a little bit later and try and sweep away the New York Mets. And they had a 16-run outburst on Wednesday evening. They got 13 over the weekend, we talked about earlier in the week, against the Braves. So, Gordon, is the offense showing signs of life, or slow down, Sparky? I'm not sure I can go there.
Well, don't call me Sparky.
I was calling myself Sparky.
Yeah, look, we talked about this before. When they were horrible, we knew they weren't going to stay horrible. We just knew this was going to come and go. They're not facing DeGrom this series, although they've done halfway decent against DeGrom in the past. The Mets have looked terrible this week. Maybe the weather has something to do with that. I don't know. I'll say this. I'm going to say this about the Cubs. I don't think they're going to win a damn thing this year at the end of the day. I was on record on that before the season started. But this team that looked so miserable at the plate for 2+ weeks, we knew they were going to break out of it. And what we've seen this past week is partially breaking out of it, but also partially, and this is my bottom line, this is an entertaining team. They're going to come and go, but they're going to have big strikeouts. They're going to have big home runs. Now, Javi Baez is a classic example, right? And he might be the most entertaining player in a game. He's certainly one of them. Four strikeouts one day, four RBIs on one hit the next. It's crazy. It should be at least a fun team to watch this year, because you never know what you're going to get every day.
Matty, are you seeing signs of life that you didn't anticipate, or are you seeing, it was just a bad performance by the Mets? The Braves started a guy who was making his season debut. What are you seeing?
Well, definitely a bad performance by the Mets. That was some of the worst defense I've ever seen in my life. And I've watched a lot of baseball in my life. But I will say the promising thing for this Cubs offense, and something that I wasn't necessarily expecting, was how much they just put the ball in play. And we talked earlier in the season about how homer dependent this lineup is, and against a Mets defense that can't seem to field or throw a ball, all you have to do is hit it hard into the field and see what happens. And that's exactly what they're
not even that hard.
Or not even that hard, just somewhere up the middle. And they're going to be like, oh no, you can have it there. Oh, sorry. Sorry to be in your way. Let's just let it roll into center field. Oh, that's a double. Cool. Like it's, that is a team. I mean, we're going to see times again, when the Cubs go back to just hitting a few solo homers here and there. But last night, as in Wednesday. Yep. Wednesday night. What you saw was a team that was able to manufacture runs. And we saw that over the weekend as well. And so those are the things that, we had been missing for those first couple of weeks. And honestly, last year too.
Tim, it's like hockey. When you hear Eddie Olczyk go, just throw the puck on the net. You never know what happens. Same thing with hitting the ball on the ground and line drives.
Yeah, it's kind of the funny thing about Javi Baez last night was he was 1-for-4. He didn't strike out. He had the grand slam, but he reached base another time where he hit a ground ball to J.D. Davis and he booted it at third base. But his first at bat, like
third time we'd seen that this series.
Yeah, so put it in play and they'll make a mistake. But even Javi, his first at bat, he smokes a line drive to third and they catch it. So if you're not striking out, you might have times where you hit the ball hard and they catch it. But then you also have times where the Mets make three errors, a catcher's interference for a fourth, and a bunch of non-errors that really were errors in the field because you made them make a play and they couldn't. And you're not going to get terrible defensive performances like that too often, I don't think. But the bottom line is put the ball in play. Don't strike out. And guess what? Some things good will happen.
So let's talk about Javi on Wednesday night. So I saw a guy who looks like he's, you know, having fun last night. They get 16 runs. There's a position player pitching for the Mets late, and Javi comes up left-handed. Third time in his career, he's batted left-handed, and all against position players. And I'm listening to our friend David Haw, my partner Jonathan Hood, Danny Zetterman. That's just ridiculous. I thought it was fun. I saw a dugout that looked like it was enjoying itself for an evening. Did you guys have a problem with it?
What do you want him to do in a 16-4 game? Go up there right-handed and try to crush a position player? Give me a break. If there's a time to do it, that's a time to do it. And besides, as Tim pointed out in his observations on that game, Javi's a natural left-hander too. So it's not like he's going up there making a mockery of the bat. I mean, he's got a real left-handed stroke. He put a batting practice pitch on Sheffield not that long ago. So this is that's just stupid. That's getting mad just to get mad.
Yep. Well, even that at bat, he hit it far. He hit it to the warning track. Like, it was fun. I mean, Wednesday night just straight up was fun. Even though it was ridiculous, and even though at times it was painful to watch the Mets try to play defense, the energy in the not quite 25% full Wrigley Field, you could feel it, especially on that grand slam.
Trying to make arguments and big deals out of things like this is why baseball is behind other sports to me. Who cares if he's going to bat lefty when they're up 16-4? Like, the bottom line is what's more fun, that or just another, you know, right-handed at bat? Like, there's nothing to lose from Javi batting left-handed in a blowout. And if he did something like we saw last year against the White Sox, he hit a double. If he does that, then that's great. It's really entertaining. And at the least you get to see something different and make the game just another fun element of it for fans to be drawn in and say, wow, Javi Baez, he does some cool stuff on the field. And we've seen that with just the natural plays, the diving stops, the throws, the steals. But this is just another reason to make fans interested in baseball. It's like, wow, Javi Baez is really dynamic. This is,
hey, by the way,
they're over 200.
If we're talking about Javi, can I make another case to pay this guy? That, to Tim's point, how entertaining he is for sure, but I don't know if anybody has noticed this with Francisco Lindor on the field at the same time. Javi's WAR is better than Lindor, whatever WAR is, but more than that, Javi's hitting way better than him. Lindor's first homer didn't come until Wednesday. Javi's got what, five of them? He leads the team in RBIs.
Javi's fourth in the big leagues in RBIs.
Yeah, and he was hitting in an RBI position yesterday too, and obviously he came up with the bases loaded and he made him pay for it. He's a dynamic player on both sides of the ball, both sides of the plate last night. And right now, he's a better player than Francisco Lindor. Now, that had, you know, over the course of their careers, is, has that been the case? Most people would argue no. Will it be the case going forward? Maybe, maybe not. But right now, he's a better player than Lindor. And if I'm not mistaken, Lindor just got paid $300-something million by a team that's trying to win. So if you're not going to step up and pay Javi.
Yeah, if I'm Javi's agent, I'm saving that tape from this game and saying, oh, we want to talk player comps? There you go. And obviously you can't build a case off of just one game, but.
He also had the quote of the year that nobody's going to top. And this is all Javi all day. And I friggin' love it. It's better than him batting left-handed and hitting batting practice homers. He says, even though I struck out four times last night, I was seeing the ball good. Come on. That, and he was dead serious.
Well, and that's who's awesome. Who's to say that's not true? Because clearly something translated the next night.
Even though I struck out four times,
I was seeing the ball great. God bless him. God bless. So let's talk about the team as a whole. I know they lost 2-3 to the Braves. They've now won a series for the first time, I think, in 5 series.
It's the opening series. Right.
They don't get Jacob DeGrom, who obviously is ducking the Cubs. He's afraid to face the Cubs at Wrigley. He knew he'd get lit up. No, I'm kidding. He's going to pitch in New York instead. I just would have thought DeGrom would have gone 20 strikeouts, 20. What's the record? 20?
I think still 20.
20. I could strike out 25.
And still lose the game because hasn't that been his MO?
It has. That would have been fun to watch him. But do you all think, like I do, that there'll be their ups and downs, but I feel like that it's getting better. Chris Bryant looks better to me. Rizzo looks like he's getting better. Javi's fourth in the league in RBIs. It's just Jock Peterson's the one that concerns me any and a half.
Gordon, you're muted.
I love listening to you when you talk this way, Cap, because there's going to come a stretch in June or July when they're facing tough pitching again and they look like shit.
And I'm going to be really pissed.
And you're going to be ripping the hell out of them on your recaps. And we're going to be right back to get rid of these guys and blow it up and the whole thing. Signs of life? Sure. The Mets are playing like crap. Stroman and DeGrom are not pitching in this series. So it's all good. It's all good for the Cubs right now. And there'll be other stretches of good for the Cubs. Maybe even this weekend against the Brewers, although I wouldn't hold my breath. But it's going to come and go, man. It's not only the nature of baseball, it's the built-in nature of this friggin' roster.
Well, on that note, like I know they've gotten Woodruff, I think, twice now. They got Corbin Burns once, but they've scored 36 runs their past 4 games. The 2 big blowouts taking up a large chunk of that, and they scored 34 in their first 13. But they didn't face Charlie Morton. They didn't face Max Fried. They missed DeGrom and Stroman, who have been 2 of the best pitchers in the baseball in the early going. And I'm not trying to take away what they've done, because there are signs of life here, and that's, you know, it doesn't matter who you're facing. Like, they were facing the Pirates and not doing anything offensively. So there are signs of life, but it is something where they've got the Dodgers in a couple of weeks and they have a great rotation top to bottom. So obviously you want to see them keep it up from their perspective, but once they get to the Dodgers series, if they're still kind of trending the right direction, that'll be a nice test, I guess, after these couple of games.
Like the other night I'm watching the game, the 3-1 game, and Arrieta out there in shirt sleeve, no long shirt, loved it. He goes 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, it's earned, strikes out 4. Rex Brothers gives you an inning, no hits, no walks, 2 strikeouts. Workman gives you 2/3. Chapin gives you 1 1/3. And then Kimbrel was a little bit wild. I thought he got squeezed. I did. And I'm not a guy that bitches about umpires. I thought he got squeezed on the edges a couple times. But the fact of the matter is, this guy has gone, I think it's 15 appearances, maybe 16, without allowing a run since last August. Pretty freaking good.
Well, and stop me if I'm wrong, but I believe the hit that he gave up in that inning was the first hit he'd given up all season.
That's correct. And that was a, you know, really good pitch. The guy poked it out to the outfield. Just a little gork out there. So we'll see.
Yeah, he's going to be a really valuable commodity at the trade deadline, I believe. That's what you're talking about, right, Cap?
Gordon, yeah. That's like 4 months away.
Okay, Jock.
Yeah, okay, Jock. Yeah. Yeah, that's right about the time Jocktober starts.
So what is going on with Jocktober? Because he looks awful at the plate.
I'm not going to say it, Maddie.
I mean, I'll say this. Like, it's a results business. I get it. When I was there on Sunday night, he had a triple, I think, for one. But he had a couple balls where he hit the ball hard, at least. And I think early in the season, he was just striking out a lot of the time. And there seems to be – I'm not going to bring up the expected WOBA and all that expected stats, but he's hitting the ball hard and more so than he did the first few weeks, but it is still a results business. And I think what was last night, a lefty, and he wasn't in the lineup. And I know that's not just like the trend already, but he wasn't in the lineup and he's kind of struggling.
I don't know. We'll see. That was a lefty, I think, with a 6 ERA coming in. So who knows?
What makes sense to me that he's talked about is he made some mechanical changes to his swing over the winter. He's working with a new hitting coach. And so he has this, you know, somewhat new swing. He goes into spring and is lights out. So he doesn't have that period where he's figuring out how to make adjustments with this new swing. And so he just starts having to do that and hitting the bumps in the road at the start of the season. And so it's not the same as if he had kept the same swing and was, you know, knows where things go wrong with that swing and can feel those adjustments that need to be made. It's a different process and it's been slow going.
And it's not like he's a 7-year veteran or anything that knows how to compete in the big leagues.
Funny Are you guy. Saying that that's a – wait, what's your point?
Funny I'm guy. Saying he's got no friggin' excuses, man. The guy's been around for 7 friggin' years.
Okay, but I could also say he's been around for 7 friggin' years. Give him a little bit of leeway. It's not like we've never seen him hit.
But I mean, you know, he's hitting like crap. He'll probably get on a streak, and then he'll hit like crap again for a while, especially if he's playing against lefties all the time. Look, 6 of his games have been, well, 5, I think, have been against the Pirates. So, you know, they're not juggernauts.
All right, let's talk about the Brewers series. Milwaukee is the hot pick from some people to win this division before the season started, and they look like they're a pretty solid baseball team. They don't spend the most money. They don't make the most aggressive trades, but when there's something out there to do, like Yelich, like Kane, they pounce, and they've got the best 1-2 in the division, and it's not close in Woodruff and Corbin Burns. Agreed, Tim?
Yeah, and they're number one in baseball in rotation ERA behind those two guys. It's sub 2. It's 1.99 for 18 games. So I think coming in, like, the Cardinals were maybe right there with them as a presumptive favorite, but the Cardinals are off to such a bad start. And the fact that we see what Corbin Burns and Brandon Woodruff are doing, because you knew what you had in Brandon Woodruff, and Corbin Burns had a good year in the shortened season, but to see what he's come out and done to start the year, I think he went like, and this might still be going the streak, but 40 strikeouts to no walks or something crazy like that. So they have a one of the best, I would say, in baseball, 1-2 punches. And then even like Freddie Peralta is giving them quality innings. And I know 2 of his starts were against the Cubs when their offense wasn't doing anything, but that's a damn good rotation, man. And the fact that, like I said, they're number one in ERA, they're ahead of the Dodgers and the Padres and all these teams, the Mets. So that could be scary. And if they keep this up, I'm not going to say sub 2 all year, but that'll make them the favorite if they keep pitching.
I think what makes them really scary is every bit that rotation, but their bullpen too. They've got a bullpen like I don't know if anybody does in the division with Hader and Suter and even Devin Williams, last year's rookie of the year.
Manny, what do you think of this Brewers team?
I don't want to see these two teams play again. I feel like we've watched this a million times already. That's where I'm at.
I think they're clearly the best team in the division. I do.
I mean, and we saw some preseason projections that had them as the first team in the division, right? And I don't think I gave those enough credence going in. This Cubs team, as with the start that they've gotten off to, could easily be third in the division.
Fourth.
They could be fourth. The Reds are good. I'm not a Cardinal guy. Now, maybe it's my bias that I don't like the team because I always cheer against them. I just never thought the Cardinals had that kind of pitching. And as we sit here today, they're in last place. I find that hilarious.
The Cardinals have like the worst rotation ERA in baseball. Like right. They're a team who it's always like the Cardinals have 10 or maybe not 10, like 7 or 8 random like starting or pitching. And from the organization, they develop it really well. And they call them up in August and they give them quality innings down the stretch. And then they go to the playoffs. And so far the rotation's been terrible. Like it has been terrible. And then you compare that to what the Brewers are doing. And you have the Cardinals under 500. Like I said about the Cardinals, I expect them to turn it around because of what they do year after year with their pitching and their homegrown pitching, but they are the complete opposite of what we've seen from the Brewers so far.
Well, we've got an interesting series. It's not going to get any easier because, as Maddie said, you got the Reds around the corner, you got the Dodgers coming up. I think Tim mentioned that one. Like, it's going to – the month of May is not an easy month. None are, but you got some really tough series coming up here.
The problem for the Cubs is they all look tough. I mean, there's a reason to point at almost every one of these series and say, well, that's going to be, except maybe the Rockies, right? But everything else, everybody in the East looks like a bad matchup. So far, everybody in the Central's been a bad matchup, and the Reds don't look any better for these guys. So it's going to be tough all year, man. Can they get on a roll? Can that core play for a month like a championship core and put up some runs and take some pressure off of a kind of a thin pitching staff? I mean, that's really going to be the key to whether they even hang in there. But as we said, it should be.
And for me, when we're talking about projecting out what this team is going to do, the key for me is figuring out what this rotation can do. Because we know that the offense is going to come and go, right? There's going to be ebbs and flows. There always is. The pitching staff, that first week, we're like, man, look at these guys. They're totally undervalued. And now we've seen duds from practically everyone except for Jake Arrieta and Adbert Alzolay, right? Who briefly went down to South Bend and is expected back up.
But even those guys this weekend, showing us that they can give.
He's
6-7 innings of really quality pitching.
Davies has gone sub 6 innings, I think, in every start, and he's gone less than 5 in his past 3. I think Alzolay, like he did have that
kind of a career trend for him, though, right? He's not a horse, but the thing is that he's had some amazingly bad innings with lots of traffic so far.
He just doesn't look. Like I watched him at spring training and went, that guy looks okay. He just doesn't look like that guy. I don't know if it's the cold weather or what.
He's had a couple big innings against him too. And even Alzolay, had the great start against the Brewers through 5 innings. And then the 60, he got charged with 3 earned runs after he left, but he loaded the bases before that. But I think he's given up like 7 earned runs in 10 innings or something. So he's probably looked like second best out of these 5, but even his numbers aren't that great.
Here's the thing, you got – in these past 6 years, you've had John Lester, Jake Arrieta, Yu Darvish, and for a lot of that time, Kyle Hendricks, where you thought going into any matchup, even if you had Scherzer on the other side or DeGrom when he was winning Cy Young Awards on the other side, you had a chance to win that game because you could match up with anybody. If Kyle Hendricks isn't that guy, they got nobody like that. And as much as I love Jake Arrieta and his competitiveness, and he can pitch even now, it's all about staying healthy, et cetera. He's not what he used to be. It's not win day for him. It's let's see if he's got it again today and can control and command enough that he can get 6. But unless unless Hendricks is on a Hendricks-like role, they don't have anybody like that. And it's going to be that. That's what's going to make it a long season if he doesn't get.
Yeah, I don't know if it's mechanical with him, if it's the weather. I can't figure out what's going on with him. Remember a couple years ago, Gordon, I remember talking to Chris Bosio, who was no longer here at that time, and he said, watch his back leg. He's 6 inches too high when he's releasing, and everything's running on him. He said, go tell him. I said, lower your back leg. And Kyle said, yeah, we're already on top of it. We caught that on film as well. And then from that point on, he was phenomenal. I don't know if it's a mechanical adjustment like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He has these stretches, right? Once he figures it out, historically, he'll go on a run for 6-8 weeks where he's almost untouchable. And so that's what we're waiting for. And you know, and if you want one more sort of point of optimism, a data point of optimism, I guess, he's tended to be a slow starter. So April isn't his best month. So maybe coming out of April here in a week or so, things begin to turn for him.
Well, it's going to be a fun weekend because the Brewers are in town. And next week, I'm hearing it could get into the high 70s to low 80s. So maybe we'll get a different feel about our baseball team offensively.
Been blowing out for both sides, though, right?
I'm okay with that. I just think guys like playing in warm weather better, so maybe it's a better thing.
I like covering games in warm weather better, too. So
yeah,
I'll take it.
We were taping the other day, and I was sitting where I am right now on this couch in my nice warm basement, and I was looking at Maddie's in the back with her mask. Gordon's in another booth where I know it's shivering.
Yeah, screw you, Cap.
I was like, well, I did 25 years of that. I'm so glad I'm on my couch right now. So we'll see. All right, you guys all stay safe and healthy. And any other breaking news or nuggets, we'll have an emergency podcast like we always do. But the Cubs and the Brewers are coming up this weekend, and a lot of tough games around the corner. And we'll be here for you on the Cubs Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, home of Cubs checking, with free ATMs nationwide. For Maddie, Tim, Gordon, Tony and Joe, I'm Cap. See you next time. Go Cubs.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.